DW.
Seoul doesn't look much like it did back when George Lantman first arrived here in 1949.
When I come down today, got into this area, I started to recognize some buildings. I recognized the Bank of Korea building in that circle there.
That's just down the street from where his first mission to Korea was located. He was part of a Marine attachment assigned to protect the U.S. Embassy. But he soon found another objective during his tour of duty. Now 91, the Long Island, New York native's memory is sharp, especially when he's talking about how he met Lee Suk-hee, a bilingual South Korean who worked the embassy's switchboard. He says he tried asking her out, but that didn't go too far.
And years later, I asked her, I said, how come you would never go on a date with me when I asked you? Later on, she said, oh, yes, I always liked you too, but my mother didn't like anybody going out with me.
George's attempts to court Suk-hee were further hindered, not by her mother, but by North Korea.
Then suddenly, in the pre-dawn darkness of June 25th, 1950, South Koreans were jarred awake by a living nightmare. Unprovoked and unannounced, the communist latest war of conquest had begun.
When the Korean War broke out on June 25, 1950, George was evacuated to Japan and then assigned to the American Embassy in Saigon. But after General Douglas MacArthur liberated Seoul that September, he returned to South Korea. Suk-hee was back at her job, too, and George finally got permission from her mother to take her out on a date. Their romance blossomed as U.S. troops were making advances into North Korea. George recalls that based on what U.S. forces were saying, the war was all but won.
All the boys will be home by Thanksgiving. We got it made. On to the Alu. Everybody was very complacent.
In this complacent atmosphere, George and Suk-hee married in December 1950 during a traditional ceremony at her family's house in Seoul. But everything changed just a week after their wedding.
The Chinese forces followed up with their massive New Year's offensive.
The Chinese army, which came to North Korea's rescue, was about to seize Seoul.
One morning I went to work. My other guy had come out of the building and said, George, forget it. The building's empty. Everybody's left already. You're on your own. Head for Busan.
George says most newlyweds go away for their honeymoon, but he and Suk-hee ran away. They packed a truck with supplies and 19 Korean employees at the U.S. Embassy and headed out of the city. He probably saved all of their lives. George says he still remembers how the dirt roads were jam-packed with refugees, bugging-out soldiers, ox carts, and broken-down vehicles. And he can't forget the destruction and death he saw along the way.
Along the side of the road, you could see little groups. You knew they were families, because there'd be some little bundles, too. The ground was frozen. They could lay down in the paddock. And they'd fall asleep and freeze to death. And they'd all be huddled up together.
On July 27, 1953, at the UN base camp in Munsani, General Mark Clark signed the ceasefire agreement. A few miles away, the communists did the same.
George and Suk-hee made it to safety in Busan, and in late 1951, they were taken by ship to the U.S. The Korean War continued for another 2 years. The couple eventually settled down outside of Washington, D.C. They had 4 children. George retired from the service and took a government job. Suk-hee studied English, learned how to cook American food, and drove a school bus for several years. He says she kept a garden that was the envy of the entire neighborhood. I asked George if he and his wife talked to their children about their experience during the war.
Did you and Suk-hee talk much to your kids or just to each other about that time in late 1950? Was that something
I don't think. Mama didn't talk much about that.
He turns to his daughter, Margaret Phillips, who's been sitting in during our chat.
Mama regarded that time in her life as when she met you as the highlight of her life.
As what?
The highlight of her life.
Over the decades, George and Suki didn't go back to South Korea too often. But in 2015, the entire family made their first trip to Seoul together. He says they wanted to show their kids where their mother was born. But as he puts it, fate called the game one night after they returned to their hotel.
Unfortunately, Suki died in her sleep that night. It was fate here in Korea, scarcely a mile and a half from where she was born, 85 years later, she died.
You feel that her coming back home, this was the right place for her to be?
Absolutely. It was fate. It was fate that got us together 65 years ago. What was a farm boy from Long Island doing marrying a beautiful Korean princess?
But George still had one more mission to complete in Korea. Following Suki's death, he reached out to her old grade school in Seoul and asked if he could place a memorial there in her honor. This April, a plaque was unveiled in the schoolyard.
Here we are today. It is done. The monument is beautiful.
What does the inscription on it say? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It says, in memory of Lee Suki, born in Seoul, 1930, died in Seoul, 2015. Rest in peace, daughter of Korea, your loving family.
George says he felt that Suki was there with him on that day. She still looks over him all these years after they, together, survived the Korean War. Jason Strother, DW, Seoul.
DW.